One of my favorite restaurants is Cracker Barrel. Homestyle cooking, family-friendly atmosphere, and good sweet tea. The waitress brings out a plate of biscuits and cornbread to start you out, along with real butter, honey, and Marion blackberry jam. Then, I order a main dish with three sides. I like the potatoes and gravy, the fried okra, and the sweet potato casserole if we happen to be there on the right day. If not, fried apples will do. This is one of those restaurants where I stuff myself silly. And if you've ever found yourself in a similar situation, then you will know the answer to the following question. Inevitably, the waitress or waiter will come by the table and ask you what uncomfortable question. I'm going to follow up with your answer in just a minute. Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which was honored recently by winning Best Documentary at the 2013 Glory Reels Film Festival. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@MediaTalk101.org. If you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. I'm in the Media Talk 101 studio again with my co-host and editor for this podcast, Rhett Simpkins. So, Rhett, what's the question the waitress or waiter asks you?
It's got to be, do you want dessert?
That's right. And even though I love dessert, when I'm stuffed, it's uncomfortable to even think about dessert. You know, I ask this question every time I speak about this subject, and the audience always gives me the right answer. So I guess I'm not the only one guilty of, as they say, filling out the corners.
No doubt, I'm guilty as well. But what does this have to do with the subject? And by the way, what is the subject this week?
Great points, and that's why you've got this job. Well, we are still in the podcast series I'm calling The Counterfeit Life, and this week's topic is about despair and hopelessness.
And what about my other point? What does dessert have to do with despair and hopelessness?
Yes, well, you know, Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, "A sated man loathes honey, but to a famished man any bitter thing is sweet." Now, if I had read that verse before telling my Cracker Barrel story, then it probably wouldn't make much sense. But I'm going to give you a paraphrase of this verse, "A sated man loathes honey." It would be like saying, if Philip stuffs himself silly at Cracker Barrel, he doesn't want dessert. You see, sated can mean fully gratified or even more than enough. And the second line of this proverb is the adverse, "But to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet." If a person is starving, then they will consume even bitter things in desperation. And you know, many people today are spiritually famished. They're starving. The emptiness in their souls is continually gnawing at them. And I believe the result is this tendency to consume bitter things in search of satisfaction. And in the case of media and entertainment, which that's what we talk about, you know, we have a culture that is continually feeding upon dark and bitter entertainment. And it's sweet, so to speak, to the famished soul, yet it does not satisfy. It's a counterfeit. But on the other hand, a person who has found their satisfaction in Jesus Christ doesn't need anything else. They are full.
Well, I suppose we can wrap up this episode with that and move on to the action steps. But kidding aside, I'm sure you have more to say about this topic.
Yes, I do. But before I say more, let's listen to this testimony by Rachel, whose story is featured in our documentary, Captivated.
I was a very angry, frustrated, depressed, suicidal individual, and I listened to a lot of angry music. And I believe that music only encouraged those really disturbing feelings inside my heart, and they didn't at all satisfy the need that I had in myself. And instead, that angry music that I was constantly listening to became very addictive, and I always needed noise. I always needed something thrashing. Like, I couldn't go around the house without putting something in. You would think that loud music drowns out what you feel in your soul. It doesn't. It only makes it more serious, makes it more dark, you know? And that's what my music was doing to me. I definitely was in bondage, to music especially, personally, and film would be a very, very close second. For me, media was an alternative reality. It was something that could help me escape the issues of my life, to not address them, to not pursue relationships with people, to not be committed to relationships as well, or much less to my relationship with the Lord. When I felt like I was really struggling and being challenged, it was really hard to open my Bible and say, "Help God." It was much easier to just turn on my iPod and blare music. And now I realize that the music only just distracted me from turning to the Lord. I still had to turn to Him. I was just taking forever to do it. When I grew to know the Lord, when I accepted Him as my Savior and He saved me, it just changed. It was just amazing what He did in my life. I believe that music actually was an idol in my life. So when I was able to recognize that, when I was able to let go, there was such incredible freedom. I am endeavoring as a follower of Jesus Christ to embrace the things that He values. And because I love Him, I want to be able to choose media that glorifies Him.
That is exactly what we're talking about today. Now, Rachel said that she was already angry, depressed, and suicidal, and that the music that she listened to encouraged those feelings. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I often talk about media as a fuel for the engine of our soul. And if our soul is already full of despair and hopelessness, then the last thing it needs is fuel for the fire. And it seems to be a tendency for people to gravitate towards bitter and dark media that fuels despair rather than seek for hopeful messages. And that seems to have been the case for Rachel. And I believe entertainment is both symptomatic and problematic when we think about the negative effects. Now, saying that, when I use this term symptomatic, what I mean is that poor media choices are often a symptom of a troubled soul or a wayward heart. So it's not the entertainment that is necessarily the cause of the trouble, but it certainly fuels existing trouble in the heart and mind. But now, on the other hand, entertainment can also be what I call problematic, not just a symptom of a problem. Because the hope needed, this hope in this dark world of the light shining in the darkness, can only be found ultimately in Jesus Christ and by our turning our heart towards Him. And the problematic nature of media is that it can be a distraction and often influence a person's attention to be off of God and to put their attention on their own troubles. I also believe it can be problematic because there are doors that I believe can be open to the soul for demonic influence and oppression, or even worse, through some forms of media and entertainment.
Do you think that some people will think that last statement a little fanatical?
Yes, I do. And kind of anticipate that when even broaching the subject. But in this secular humanistic age, where everything has to be explained through the scientific method, talking about demons and spiritual warfare gets lost in the din of modernism, psychobabble, and I believe the lack of biblical literacy. If you have a biblical worldview, you cannot remain ignorant of the spiritual war and the tactics and the weapons of the enemy. Now, when I was much younger, and regrettably very wayward and rebellious, I've talked about that in other podcasts already, but during that time, I was also consuming bitter and dark entertainment. Plus, I combined that with dabbling in occult practices and drugs. And so my life in my teen years became a spiritual battleground, and I was tormented by demons. Some may argue that I'm only using anecdotal evidence, so here's a verse to consider. It comes from Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus often cast out demons and healed sicknesses, which were sometimes attributed to Satan or demons. And you won't find a Bible verse, for sure. You know, someone say, hey, give me chapter and verse. You won't find a Bible verse that says that people in the 21st century who expose themselves to entertainment that glorifies death or demonic activity or witchcraft or suicide, many times the occult, wickedness, evil, you know, I could go on and on. And more, you know, are at risk for opening their lives and their souls to demonic oppression. So you're not going to find that verse. But we do find a verse where the Apostle Paul warns the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Now, if you know anything about lions when they hunt, they are looking for weakness. I often joke when I talk about this that lions do not like fast food. You know, they're not like Americans. They actually like slow food because they have to chase it down. So if they're going to find the slow food, they're going to have to find weakness. And you know what? The enemy is looking for weakness. And if exposing your heart and your mind to dark and evil entertainment is not an invitation to the enemy to come have you for lunch, I'm not sure what is.
Now, you've mentioned several scriptures so far about the problem. What about the solution? How does a person escape the darkness and turn to the light? And if this is the counterfeit life, then what is real life?
Boy, that was a lengthy question there, Rhett. But certainly, let me just say this. Real life is not without its troubles. In fact, the passage I just read in Peter actually goes on to say, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So when we talk about the real life as opposed to the counterfeit that's found in Christ, it does include difficulties and trials, yet the difference is found in one word that stands opposite to despair, and that one word is hope. Let me read some a verse or two about hope, because this is the antidote to a world full of darkness and despair, depression, suicidal thoughts, you name it. Psalm 42:11 says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So I believe the answer to a disturbed soul that is in despair is to hope in God, who is what the writer said, the help of my countenance. It's not found by drowning your sorrows or your troubled spirit in dark and despairing music or movies or video games. Let me share a few more encouraging words for you from Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Now notice in these verses that I just read that mention hope in the Lord, they're also dealing with the soul of man. A person's soul is in need of hope. And that hope is found in the Lord. Let me give you another example, because I think it's so important for us in this world where we're being constantly bombarded by all of this darkness. It's a barrage. It's a torrent against all of those. So how do we combat that? Well, I think we just need to put more and more of our focus and our attention upon God's Word. And that's why I'm going to spend more time than probably usual, even though, you know, Rhett, you know, we focus on the Word of God here. I mean, that's we're about biblical help in the light of following Christ. We want to point people to Jesus Christ. So we always include Scripture, but I feel like I need to include a lot more this week on this subject. Let me read Psalm 130. It's actually one of the short psalms in the Scriptures, but the whole thing is just packed with hope. It says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, I'm going to continue just with some scripture, because to be honest, there are a lot of things any one of us could say. There's a lot of things you could say, Rhett. There's a lot of things I could say. But when it comes down to it, you know, the Word of God speaks better than either you and I could ever hope to in a podcast. And this next verse I want to share speaks directly of the hope and consolation we have in Jesus Christ. It's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Thessalonian church. So this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And though I could go on sharing verse after verse about the hope we have and need to have in God that stand in stark contrast with so much hopelessness and despair in much of today's entertainment, let me just share a short proverb from King Solomon. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." You see, the path of righteousness gets brighter, not darker.
That sounds like a good place to bring this episode to a close. Do you have any action steps for us this week?
Yes. Don't overeat at your favorite restaurant and save some room for dessert. Yeah. Just kidding. That was probably in poor taste. I probably should have let me get serious. You know, this is another subject in entertainment that is toxic to the soul. So here's an action step for you. Stop poisoning your heart and mind with messages of hopelessness and despair, and turn your heart to Jesus and find your hope in him. So if you are struggling with thoughts of suicide, then know for certain that it is a lie from the pit of hell. And the Bible says, Jesus himself said, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy, and that he came that you might have life, life in all of its fullness. And if you want to live that life fully, here's another action step for you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Make sure you're saturating your soul with God's word, and you're pouring out your soul to him through prayer and thanksgiving. There is a brighter day ahead, but it's realized by those who love God and who walk the path of righteousness. And by the way, you know, righteousness, this is a term that gets used quite a bit. If you go to church, you know, if you're around Christians, you're going to hear the term righteousness. And sometimes I think we just use this so much that we forget the very meaning of it. So I'm going to simplify this. If righteousness, that word is somewhat of an enigma to you, it's simply what is right as opposed to what is wrong. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with other Christians that it can encourage you in your struggles. And also with godly elders or pastors in a local church that are commissioned to keep watch over your soul, according to Hebrews chapter 13. We all need hope in this life, and I hope you turn off the hopeless media and turn to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives hope to all who put their trust in him. You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Join us next week for part 6 of The Counterfeit Life as we talk about, you ready for this?
What is it?
Being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the counterfeit. That's actually the real life to another counterfeit, which is drug and alcohol abuse.